So my name's Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 2nd of September, 2009, and the time is 4:20 in the afternoon. Can you tell me your name, your age, and where you come from?
My name is James Kay. I'm 65, and I come from Upper Largo in Fife.
Okay, thank you. When was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
Well, I read various news stories about it, but I didn't think about it at all until Lee Randall, who's one of the Scotsman columnists, had an early slot, and she wrote about it in her column and finished up by saying, why not register? There's still, I think she said, 101 places for people from Scotland. And what she wrote sounded interesting, so I went up, put my name in, and then never thought any more about it until suddenly the email came and panic stations.
So how did you feel when you received the email?
Well, I was just going down to meet about 30 friends who'd come around for a barbecue. So I was totally gobsmacked and didn't have time to think about it. And I just dashed off an acceptance and, you know, didn't really think about what I'd put on my acceptance, and basically didn't change it either. So that was, you know, what I based what I'm going to do on.
So what is it you're going to do when you're up on the plinth?
A bit of local history. I'm very happy on where I live. I've only lived there since 2003. But I'm very happy there. And I thought I'd just do a little bit to illustrate the history of the place where I am. But that comes from, I was asked to give three words to describe myself, and I put 65 and alive. And I do regard myself as very lucky to have reached the age of 65. Happy with life. But the other thing I was asked to do was give a nickname. And recently I've been in contact with school friends I hadn't seen for 40 years. And I was got into the habit of signing my emails with a number which was given at school. We're all given a number. Mine was 2612. So I signed my emails 2612. So when I was asked to give a nickname, I thought, well, 2612, why not? And then I suddenly discovered that was my ID on this platform. And so I thought about it. So I'll be doing a little bit of mention of the days back when I used to be 2612 as well.
Can you tell us a little bit for the record about that then, about your schooling days and about being a number?
Well, it was a military school, Queen Victoria School in Dunblane. It was a boarding school for the sons of Scottish soldiers, sailors and airmen. And I went there from the ages of 9 to 18. And among other things, when you went in, you were just allocated a number, the next in line. And my number was 2612, and it's stuck ever since. And so a few years ago, some of the people in my class at school started getting together, and eventually we had a reunion. The school was 100 years old last year, so we had a little celebratory dinner for about 8 of us who were all in the same class. And we had another one this year.
So what was that like to be back in touch after such a long time?
Well, my initial reaction was it's all in the past, I don't want to go back there. But there's one person among the small group who's more consistent than everyone else, and he has got the reputation of collaring anyone he wants to collar, and he's got in contact with quite a few people over the last 18 months or so, and eventually tracked me down. He had to ring every post office in Fife because he knew I used to be a postmaster, but he eventually managed to track me down. So yes, I went along, and I've been quite happy since then. But my initial reaction was I didn't want to go there. Just going into a past life. But I'm happy.
Was it to generalise, to sum up quickly the experience of, you know, going to a military school and then being a number? What kind of memories does it hold? Are they good or bad?
Well, you can't really compare, because it's the only schooling you had. I don't believe people who say, you know, school days are the happiest days of their lives, and I don't believe people who hold any strong views on that, because they don't have the other experience to control. It's the only one they've got. That's the way I look at it. That is my schooling, it's me. I'm sorry if that doesn't answer your question, but that's the way I think of it.
So a little bit more about you. You mentioned you were a postmaster.
Briefly. I was a teacher for 30 odd years. And I believe that nobody should be a teacher for more than 20 years. I know people have gone much longer than that, but I think that teaching little children brutalizes the teacher. And I didn't like the person I'd become. And I got out of teaching. I was lucky. I had a doctor who said that I was medically unfit to carry on teaching. And 18 months later, an ex-colleague of mine saw me and said I was the best advert for not teaching that she'd ever seen. So I was looking so much better. Anyway, to cut that story short, I thought, what shall I do now? And I thought, well, why not run a post office? My father, who hadn't been a teacher, he'd been in the army, he did that when he retired. So I thought, well, that's something I could do as well. So I took on a post office. At the time, it was my sort of 10-year plan, because I was 55 by the time I got my post office. And I thought, well, 10 years until I'm 65, which would have taken me right up till this present moment. But I'd only been in the post office about 2 years when I met someone who lived 60 miles away and we got married, and it's difficult to run a post office from 60 miles away, so eventually I had to give it up. But I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And can you tell us where you've moved to now? So you mentioned you're very happy.
In Upper Largo in Fife. It's a small village. When we're putting flyers around for various events in the village hall, we count 220 houses, so that's the sort of size of the village itself. And there always seems to be something happening. Probably more things happening than there would be if you were in a town. So on my webpage, on the project, the last thing I put on was a photograph in the village show, because I won a first prize in the photography section of the village show. The category was a cute animal photograph, and I put in one of my pet dogs, and there it is. So I put that on my website just to show this is what I'm doing in Largo this week. But yes, we've got dances and film shows and things like that, and there always seems to be something happening.
You mentioned your partner as well.
Yes, I married Irene in 2002. Let's hope I get that right. And she'd been working in Fife for a long time. She was the director of nursing in Fife. And we talked about briefly whether she would move to closer to where my post office was, or whether I would move through to Fife. But Fife won out. It's so beautiful where we are. There wasn't much debate about it at all. And so we've got a lovely house there. And two dogs, and I don't think life could be better.
So, going back to the plinth, who would you say you're on the plinth for?
For me, I think. I don't want to entertain the crowds. I want to just be me. Say a little bit about local history, and I've given some web links, and if anyone wants to follow them, then they're welcome to. If anyone wants to email me about a follow-up, I'll be happy to point them in another direction. But if it doesn't interest them, then, well, it's kept me amused, that's the main thing.
And for the record, can you give us a little bit of insight into the village? I mean, maybe you said some stuff before, but what are you going to be saying when you're up there?
Well, there are three historical characters in particular who, in my mind, stand out over a 500-year period. They all happen to be sailors. It's a very sailorish community. One of them is the king's captain way back in 1480s to 1500s, early 1500s. And he was very, very successful in defending the Forth and Edinburgh area against the English. There's one famous action in which he took two ships out to take on five and brought all five back. and he attended Largo Church, and he's now buried there. The second one is Alexander Selkirk, who was the real-life counterpart of Robinson Crusoe, and he was born in Lower Largo and attended Largo Church. He's not buried there because he eventually died at sea. But his statue is down in Lower Largo. And I did originally think that maybe Plinth statue, I should dress as the statue of Robinson Crusoe and stand there looking out for an hour. And I think that would have been a valid thing to do, but I couldn't stand for an hour. I just couldn't. So I dropped that idea, and it'll be posters if the wind doesn't get up and blow them away. So that's the second one. And the third one, as soon as I began to think of more than one person, because as I say, I started with the idea of Alexander Selkirk, Robinson Crusoe, I realised there was a third person, or a second one. The Wood was really the third, who in a sense belongs there more than anyone else, because he was one of Nelson's captains at Trafalgar. And he was born in Largo and is buried there in the church as well. So I've got a poster about him and references to his career, and I even traced a book that was written a couple of years ago, which I hadn't known about until, you know, I started doing some research for this. So very interesting, I find it anyway. And again, I've put a link on it on the web page, and if people like to go off and get the book and read about it, then I hope they do.
Great, thank you. So what would you say are the most important things to you at the moment in your life?
My wife and our two dogs, I would say. And that's what keeps me happy.
And what hopes and plans do you have for the future?
Nothing. Just live for today and enjoy what we've got.
How does it feel to be part of the One Another project and one of 2,400 that get to experience the plinth?
The thing which made it seem real to me was the fact, and it might sound silly to other people, but it made it feel real to me, was the fact that the plinth had been empty for the best part of 170 years. If it had just been built for the purpose, in Edinburgh at festival time is full of people with ideas, and something equivalent to the plinth might have been one of them. But if it was just something built for the purpose, it wouldn't have seemed to me as something worthwhile. But the fact that it had been empty for almost all this time and somebody's trying to do something with it, that sounded very interesting. On the other hand, I think perhaps the thing in Lee Randall's article which attracted me was her description of the guy who put the tent up the top and just disappeared inside, and that was his hour. I thought, yeah, that sounds like me. One of my first reactions was to do absolutely nothing, just sit there and do nothing, and I know people have. But on second reflections, I decided to be a little bit more proactive than that. But if I can spend some time up there in thought and tranquility, that's what I look for.
So how do you think that the experience might affect you?
Don't know. If I come down feeling glad that I've been through it, that's enough. I don't look for any more than that.
And how are you feeling now? What's the journey been like from first applying to finding out to preparing?
It's been hectic, and it's just taken over my life for this last 3 weeks, because I was in a sense laid out of the bag. I initially got an email saying you're not selected on the 1st of August, and it was later, about the 9th of August, that I got the email saying, and then of course this is almost the first available hour in September, so the time slot was fairly short. But it's really been the dominant thing in my life in this last 3 weeks, just thinking what I'll do, making preparations, seeking people's help and advice, and it's been very enjoyable. And I think I finish up by saying in my profile that doesn't matter if it's windy and they all blow away. Well, it does matter, but the important thing is I'll be left with the thoughts I had. Because that's what I'm looking for, just to be peaceful in the midst of bustle and strife. If I can manage that, well, I'll be happy.
Great, thank you very much.